reading this morning is from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming and would not have let his house be broken into, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Thanks be to God. This morning's message is the beginning of a series in our lectionary entitled Joy, the Flip Side of Justice. I'd be telling you a fib if I said I knew instantly what to talk about. I'd never thought of those two together, justice and joy. I felt like that phys ed teacher who was asked to come in and teach the calculus class. But the Lord's helped me find the right connection. In our world, justice means equity, fairness, just treatment, and moral rightness. But then there's spiritual justice. Just like the difference between human love and God's love, there's a difference here too. God's biblical justice means to make right, to live in right relationship with God and everybody else too. Just as Jesus took the broken and gave them purpose, he set things right. There's a scripture in Micah that was used for our New England annual conference. It says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" God wants us to do justice, do for others. Then there's joy. Biblical joy isn't what I thought it was most of my life. I was imagining happiness. Happiness, a wonderful emotion, that feeling we get something positive happens in our life. But really, it's a temporary emotion. It happens at the moment, comes again and again. That rush of pleasure when we open a Christmas gift or gaze into the face of a child for the first time. Over and over, we feel that happiness. But joy is not an emotion. It's an attitude. It's part of our heart and our spirit. It comes from serving God. And the closer we come to him, the more joy we should be feeling. The more we do for others, love others, care for others, do justice, the more we trust in what God is asking us to do, the more joy fills our hearts and stays, doesn't go. So there it is. Do justice. Find joy. God so wants us to be close. He has important things to teach us about doing justice, especially. While we're in our own little bubbles, so many of our neighbors need help. The backpack program we're participating in this summer will help so many families that struggle with an average of $35 per student cost of school supplies. We can't ask the teachers, they're buying so much already. We're helping to do justice. How about the children who can't wait to get back to school because they can finally have at least one meal a day. There are wonderful people that have worked out a way for them to have food all summer, doing justice. Our missions as Methodists here and throughout the world do so much. As we worry about what we'll have for lunch, someone is watching their child scoop dirty water from a polluted river and agonizing about the outcome. We're helping there too. We may think in our own little circle that we can't do anything that will matter, but little kindnesses happen all the time. Think of the program our Red Sox had. Socks for socks. Socks for the homeless and needy. A simple gesture of love. In our own county, folks are dropping off their garden overflow to places like the food pantry and the Emmaus Center. To help is spreading God's love. Stretching out, reaching out to others, being a disciple, being a servant. As it says in Luke, don't worry about keeping money. Be sure you share with those who need it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I often wondered how missionaries overseas withstood some of the conditions, but have you ever seen the interviews with missionaries? They have nothing, and yet the joy is all over their faces. They have a treasure in their souls. The disciples left everything behind. Their families, their fishing boats, everything. Imagine leaving your family behind, just, I'm leaving. To follow that man who taught about God's love, they gave up everything, but received everything in return. Spreading love. What if we stopped seeking revenge for those who've wronged us? What if we tried to understand instead? It takes a big stretch, a trusting in God. It's easy to love when we love. A heart and soul leap of faith there. It's a tough thing, forgiveness. It runs hand in hand with justice and joy. Forgiveness is right there in the middle. But it walks beside us. God wants us to completely trust and obey Him. There's no other way, all the way. I've carried in my heart for many years a hatred of a man called Mr. Bob Howard. When I was much younger, when dinosaurs roamed the earth in my 20s, Bob was the owner of the feed and seed store where I boarded my horse. To most of the world, he was a great guy. He had a team of Clydesdales that he'd take to fairs and give hay rides, and the kids would see him and laugh and run to him, just like children to Jesus. A quiet man, he was nevertheless larger than life. He'd give them pony rides, and they loved him so. His daughter had a beautiful mare who was eventually very beloved, but very old and feeble. And one day at the barn, I noticed that she was in great distress. Those of you who have pets, large or small, know that heartbreaking feeling you know. Someday there'll come a time when we have to say goodbye. And we hope, just as we do for our human family, that the end of life here on earth will be painless, or have as little suffering as possible. With horses, it's a little more complicated. It is now, too. A bit more complicated because of their size. It's much easier if the horse is led to the spot where they'll be buried, heart-wrenching for the owner. And since they'll have to dig a deep grave and sadly need to be as close to it as possible. Bob's back upper pasture is where all the horses and ponies were lovingly interred in their time. And the hope always was that this would be done with love and tenderness. So when I saw this beautiful mare go down, I rushed to her to make her stand. You see, horses have a tendency to give up and lie down. And in order to save them, you have to urge them to stand and keep them walking, or they'll completely give up. I hated to do it, but I knew she needed to go out to the back pasture where she could peacefully spend her last moments, hopefully with those who loved her. I led her to the street where I called up DeBob, who was in his house. His wife told me he was busy watching a program. I explained about the man, and while I was talking, she went down again. Again, I coaxed her up and we continued the painful walking. 20 minutes later, I came back, and Bob hollered out that he'd be out when he was good and ready. My heart broke. I wasn't sure where he wanted to go. I had no key to the back pasture, so I walked and I walked her as she suffered, and I continued to urge her on and pray. Eventually, he came down to the barn, grabbed the lead line, and yanked her to the road up to the back pasture. As they passed over a little bridge, she stumbled and fell off the bridge into the tiny river. He coaxed her up and eventually got her where he wanted her to be. I thought about this as I struggled with forgiveness. God has always known how I felt about Mr. Howard, how I've learned to hate him. He knows all of our struggles and our heartaches. I asked him, this week, how can I talk about forgiveness? I don't feel it. I felt him coaxing me to listen to stretch for the answer. As I was looking on the internet at speakers and writings about justice and joy and forgiveness, I saw something different. Underneath the articles was a separate story about an elderly German woman who had been in the concentration camps with her baby sister who had died there. They endured terrible times, including being asked by the guards to remove all their clothing and watch it being burned. Many years later, she went back to Germany for a visit. An elderly man approached her and took her hands. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" She said, as I gazed into his eyes, I recognized a soldier from the concentration camp. He said, "I'm a Christian now, and I know God has forgiven me for the terrible things I did back then, but I'm asking you, will you forgive me?" She said, I thought and said, "No." But then I realized Jesus had died for him too. I didn't have to forgive him. Jesus was already there, forgiving him. And I told him, Jesus had wiped the slate clean. God says, "I will take this from you. I am the one who forgives. I am the judge. Justice is mine. Let this go. Free your heart to understand and to love. While it's in your heart, you can't do that." I think of Mr. Howard now, and I see a man who couldn't face saying goodbye to a dear friend and companion. What I saw was a suffering soul. I just didn't know it. God has helped me to see this once I opened my heart. God wants us to trust him. Just like the farmers who plant a seed in the ground and then have to wait and wait and hope and trust, we must be satisfied to wait, all in God's time. Ever feel like you have to hurry? Oh, nobody here has to feel like they have to hurry, right? No. Feel guilty if you're not doing the speed limit? Ever try to please others? Commit to too many things? That's the way of today's world, our world. Let's try a different compass for a moment, one that points to God. Let's try to please God. Living and walking in the presence of God, just think of it. He's never more than a thought away. Have you ever sat by the water and felt the peace that comes over you? An opportunity to be open to hear his voice without the distractions of our world. Sometimes we're so busy we don't hear God speaking to us, loving us, helping us. When we wear sour faces and walk through our lives with resignation, God is not pleased. When we walk through a day with childlike delight, savoring every blessing, we proclaim our trust in God, that He has us, our ever-present shepherd. The more we focus on His presence, the more we can fully enjoy our lives. As parents, we can see how important it is to watch our children make mistakes so they can learn from them. It doesn't mean we don't love them. Remember this, guys. God wants us to realize our full potential as humans, as His children, to treasure and experience the gift He's given to us, and to be sure everyone has that chance to know Him, to know His great love for His children. So He lets us make mistakes as well. But what we do matters. What we share and give matters to God. He says we should be ready for Him, to prepare for Him, not gathering up material things, but doing justice and preparing for everlasting life. So at the end of life, when we arrive at the gates of the kingdom, and Jesus comes forward and reminds us that we are forgiven, freely forgiven, that He gave His all to forgive us. Good deeds will be mentioned about the things that you have done in your life for God, the things you did with love and kindness, the sharing of the message of God with others, the giving of yourself that matters so much to God, that you asked for forgiveness and came to love and trust and completely trust and obey God. As you stand forgiven before Him, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Now is the time for our joys and concerns lifted to God. And Miss Caitlin is going to do the microphone bearing honors. She's also the only one who can figure out how to turn it on.